Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Did you know that the Bible is actually a book of 66 separate books, written over 1,600 years by 40 different authors on three different continents? The fact that the Bible has only one theme is really a miracle. You know, it'd be one thing if one person wrote the Bible. For instance, the Quran was written by one person, Muhammad. The Analects of Confucius were written by Confucius. And the writings of Buddha are written by one man, Buddha. So you'd expect them to be uniform. On the other hand, as I said, the Bible was written by 40 different people in every age and every stage of life. They all wrote the same story. It's the story of God's love for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if it's the prophets or the poets, or the princes and the kings who wrote, or the sailors and soldiers, they all had the same story. Did you know that some of the Bible was written in homes, and other parts were written in prison, and other parts were actually written on ships? You couldn't have put that all together by a more diverse group of authors. And yet the story is the same. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about God redeeming man, and Jesus is the star of the story. That's why I believe only God could have put the Bible together. And that's why every day here on Daily Hope, we continue to look into God's Word for our life, our light, and our sustenance. Let's get started.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called Financial Fitness. Now in these lessons, we'll learn what God says about our finances and how to have true financial freedom. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a tool to help you gain true financial freedom. It's called the Financial Fitness Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. And you can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. Now, if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called The Habits of Financial Health.
I remember in the very first year of the church, I led a guy to Christ. And he was a nice guy, and he genuinely was converted to Christ. But he was a dreamer who never could make anything happen, and it was simply one big idea after another. And one day he came to me and he said, Pastor Rick, this church has changed my life, and I'm working on a deal that is going to make Saddleback Church $50 million. Well, now, as a 25-year-old pastor, I'm going to listen to that. Now, years later, I don't pay that attention at all. I want to say, show me the money. Oh, this dream is just a bunch. And it seemed like all about the time he'd get this big dream for $50 million, and then before it was closed, he'd jump to a bigger one. That we're not doing that anymore because this one's going to bring in $75 million. And then, you know, instead of closing that deal, we're not going to do that anymore. We're doing the $100 million. And it kept on doing. And at the end of the year, I realized I had paid for all the lunches. Beware the guy who's got the billion-dollar idea, but he can't afford to have his suit pressed or pay the meal, pay the bills. I just go out and get a job, buddy. Just get a job, okay? You know, you don't wait for the ship to come in. You swim out to it. And do that. So, here's what the Bible says. Look at the next verse. Proverbs 21:5. Steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. Circle the word hasty. Here's another law for you. You make financial decisions slowly. If you want to be wise, you make financial decisions slowly. If it's a good deal, it'll be a good deal tomorrow. You don't have to make, you know, when you're in a business, when you're in a store and that salesman is pressuring you to buy right now and it is a major priced item, you need to go home and think about it. You need to sleep on it. You need to take your time. If it's a good deal, it'll be a good deal tomorrow. Hasty speculation leads to poverty. It means you get in a hurry. You get emotionally involved. You want to do it now. Now notice it says steady plodding brings prosperity. Circle the word plodding. This is where he's saying you just keep on doing the right thing. You do it a little bit at a time, but over a long time, little things build up. You save a little, save a little, save a little, save a little, and pretty soon it all adds up. Steady plodding brings prosperity. I've mentioned this in every session we've done in this series. The most powerful factor in mathematics is compounding interest. And over a period of time, little becomes much with compounding interest. And over a long period of time, turtles always beat rabbits. Because the rabbits get in a hurry. And then they stop over here to have a party with so-and-so. And then they go over here to do this. And the turtle's just plodding along and crosses the finish line before everybody else. So God says, if you want my blessing on your finances, first, you got to remember that I'm your security and I'm your source. And number two, you got to make your money honestly. You got to be fair in your deals, and you can't charge high interest. You don't get involved in get-rich-quick schemes and scams. Hasty speculation, you do steady plotting. All right? Number three, the third habit you have to develop is honor God first. I honor God first with my money. Now, I don't have to spend a lot of time on this one. We can just kind of review it quickly and get on to the others, because most of you know this principle, the principle of tithing. The bottom line is this. Whatever I want God to bless, I put Him first in. If I want God to bless my marriage, I put Him first in my marriage. If I want God to bless my time, I put Him first in my time. I'm giving the first part of every day in a quiet time. If I want God to bless my business, I put Him first in my business. If I want God to bless my money, I put Him first in my money. Now, this is the principle of tithing. That right off the top, I give the first 10% back to God. Now, again, I don't have to explain this in detail. We've talked about this a lot. So just look at these four verses. The promise, the purpose, the place, and the day. That's what these four verses are. Here's the promise about tithing. Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord by giving Him the leftovers of all your income, and He will fill your barns to overflow. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? It says what? First, what does it say? First part. Now, Kay and I, 36 years ago, said, okay, look, if we're in debt to anybody, we're not going to be in debt to God. God gets paid first, right off the top. If I make 10 bucks, the first dollar goes back to Him. If I make 100 bucks, the first 10 bucks go back to God. I may be in debt to you. I may be in debt to other people. I am not going to be in debt to God, because it all comes from God in the first place, and I want His blessing on the rest of it. So the promise is, if I honor Him with the first part of my income, He will bless me financially. Now, what's the purpose of that? Why does God tell us to tithe? Next verse, Deuteronomy 14. The purpose of tithing is because God is poor. No, it doesn't say that. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. God doesn't need my money. God doesn't need your money. He wants what it represents. He wants me to trust Him. And when I tithe, when I give the first part of my income back to God before anything else as a gift to Him, it says three things. Past, present, future. God, thank you. I'm grateful for all you've given me in the past. You're number one in my life right now, and I'm going to trust you in the future. That's the purpose of it. Okay. The place. Where do I tithe? I mean, do I tithe the United Way, or do I tithe to my brother who's been out of work for 3 years? No, that's charity. Tithing is an act of worship. It goes to God, not to my friend, not to charity. It goes to God. It's an act of worship. Malachi 3:10. Bring to my storehouse a full tenth. Now, by the way, what's the storehouse? It's the temple. He says, bring to the temple where you worship me. Bring to my storehouse a full tenth of what you earn. Test me in this, says the Lord, and I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out all the blessings you need. He says, I dare you. This is a Pepsi Challenge test. Test me in this. He said, you bring it to me as an act of worship. Now, when do I do it? Well, you do it on the day you worship. 1 Corinthians 16 says this. On the first day of every week, that's the day we worship, Sunday, put aside some of what you've earned during the week and use it for the offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. As I said, if I make 10 bucks, I give God return a dollar. If I make $100, I give Him $10. Now, on the first day of the week, the first part of my day and the first part of my money, then God is saying, you're really number one in my life. Now, circle the phrase put aside. Because notice that means you got to plan this. This is not an impulsive thing. You gotta plan it. Because I don't normally plan to bring money to worship. Now, let's go to the fourth. Number four is save money wisely. If I want God's blessing on my finance, if I want to get out of debt, I must learn to save money wisely. And notice, this is number four. First, I remember God as my source. Second, I make the money honestly. Third, I honor God first. And fourth, I save some of it. You say, Rick, are you telling me to save my money before I pay my bills? That's exactly what I'm telling you to do. Because that's what the Bible says. If you wait until all your bills are paid off to start saving, you will never save anything. Most people are going to get to retirement flat broke because they spent all their money and never saved anything. The Bible clearly states you pay God first and you pay yourself second, and then you spend the rest on your bills and repayment and things like that. If you don't, you will never save anything.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called The Habits of Financial Health from our series called Financial Fitness. Hey, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
If you want God to bless your finances, then you need to know and follow God's plan for money management found in the Bible. Today, numerous people are experiencing economic struggles and find they can't pay their bills or make their mortgage, and many are even forced into bankruptcy. Whether you've got your finances under control or you're in distress, learning God's plan for money management will help you. And that's why Pastor Rick created a 5-part video series and workbook called Financial Fitness. In it, Rick covers topics like developing healthy financial habits, the best place to invest your money, biblical giving, and learning to be satisfied with what you already have. Financial Fitness will show you how to improve your finances by turning the reins over to God. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you this wonderful resource that will give you the peace of mind that comes from true financial freedom. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 313131.
Once again, here's Rick.
Did you know that God says your savings account test your IQ? It shows how smart you are. By looking at your savings, you can tell how wise you are with your money. Notice this verse, Proverbs 21:20. The wise man, in other words, the smart man, the intelligent man, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Uh-oh. Okay, that's a verse you probably ought to put on your refrigerator door. Actually, you ought to put it on a post-it note and wrap it around your credit card. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Did you know that the average Japanese saves 25% of their income? The average European saves 15% of their income. Last year, the average American spent 1% more than they made. We are not saving anything. And not only is the government being irresponsible, we are being irresponsible. And we're not saving. And as a result, you're going to get to retirement and there's nothing going to be there. Let me give you a little question that will help you start saving. You simply ask this one. Do I really need this item? And if you'll just stop before you buy anything, just stop and ask yourself, do I really need this? Because you could be taking that money and putting it, instead of spending it on this little trinket, putting it in the bank, putting in savings, putting in investment. And when you are saving money, your money is working for you instead of you working for your money. Most people never get out of debt because they spend their entire lives working for money. When you start saving it, your money works for you, because even while you're sleeping, it's making interest. And your money is making money for you. When you're saved, you make money work for you. Now let's look at some of the principles of saving and investing from the Word of God. Proverbs 24 says this, verse 27. Develop your business first before building your house. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? Develop your business before building your house. What does that verse mean? It means before you go buy the new drapes, before you go redecorate, before you buy, you know, another piece of furniture or art, you ought to take that money instead and invest it in something that's going to make money for you. Now, most of you don't have your own businesses. You know, in these days, everybody was self-employed. Everybody had their own business. But he's saying, take your money and instead of buying a thing with it, take it and put it in something that makes money with it, so you're investing and you're making more money all along. Develop your business first before building your house. See, here's the problem most people do. They get a raise, and when you get a raise, you know what you ought to do? Keep living at the same level and put that money, sock it away in the bank. Or in some investment. Don't raise your standard of living. What most people do as soon as they get a raise, they go out and they buy a new car. That's the last thing you need to do. First place, when you buy a new car, the moment you drive it off the lot, it's worth $10,000 less than you paid for it. But you're still going to pay the interest on all that, even though it's depreciated. You have just invested in a depreciating item that's going to get cheaper and cheaper while you're paying more and more interest. And it's going like this, and that creates debt. Now, I'm serious about this. If you will take the money that you're spending on things, instead of going and buying that big plasma screen that maybe you can't afford, what you need to do is take that money and put it in the bank and let it sit there for years and watch. You need to get as much pleasure out of saving as you do out of spending. A lot of people, when they get depressed, they want to go shopping. And there is a rush in spending money. But you should get that attitude and change it to saving money. Say, oh, honey, I had such a great day today. What'd you do? I put $50 more in the bank. Well, good. Now, I'm serious about this. So serious that in the early years, many of you know that I retired financially 10 years ago. I retired at 47. Why? Because I had been saving since I was 17. I haven't taken a salary from this church in 10 years. In fact, 10 years ago, I added up all the church had paid me in the first 25 years, and I gave it all back. Kay and I live off the savings of our investments today. I retired 10 years ago. I do this because I want to do this. I don't do this to make money. But I had been saving systematically over the years, and it adds up. Now, how do you do that? Well, in the early years, we were just very, very careful. I went out and rather than go and buy a new car, I found a car in the Penny Saver over in Leisure World for $500. Now that's a car. Now I went over there and it was a 1972 Oldsmobile Cutlass, and the paint was chipping on it and the roof was all ratted out, but it only had 38,000 miles on it. I'm going, $500, 38,000 miles, I can put up with this. So I bought this car for $500. I drove it across the border to Tijuana and spent $1,500 getting a completely new paint job and a completely new interior. With the fuzzy dice and, you know, everything. No. The Velvet Elvis in the back, and I mean the whole, the dogs playing poker. No, I'm just kidding you. Got it all day. And then I drove it for 6 years. And after 6 years, I got tired of it. I gave it to Pastor Tom. It's true. I did. And then Tom drove it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 more years. And then he gave it to another pastor. That car's somewhere out there in pastor land today. Okay? Now, that's per mile, per gallon cost on that car was minuscule compared to yours. The car I drive right now is a 2000 Ford, and we saved until I could pay cash for it. I wasn't about to pay interest on a depreciating item, because that's bad stewardship. Okay, and so this is the principle. Save money wisely. Look at this next verse. Ecclesiastes 11:2 is another advice about investing and saving. Invest what you have in several different places, because you don't know what disasters might happen. Now, this is the principle of diversification. It says you need to diversify. You don't put all your savings in one place. You've heard the old expression, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know where that phrase came from? This verse right here in the Bible. The Bible says you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You put a little bit of your savings here, a little bit here, a little bit here. You spread it out. Any money manager will call you, tell you this is a balanced portfolio to minimize risk. That you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. You don't want to have it all your investments in one place. You want to spread it out to minimize the risk factor in your investing. That's what the Bible says. You need to diversify. Now look at the next verse, Proverbs 13, verse 11. Money that comes easily disappears quickly. Now you might write up to the side of that verse, lotto. Money that comes easily disappears quickly, but money that is gathered little by little will grow. Circle little by little. This is the little by little principle of adding a little bit every day. You need to start saving yesterday. You say, well, I'm in debt. You still need to start putting money in the savings. You say, I don't have much to save. I don't care how much it is. It's that you start the habit of saving and you do it every single week. And you put a little, it's not the amount that matters. I started saving for my retirement when I was 17 years old.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you're upside down on your mortgage, or you're deeply in debt, or you're struggling to make ends meet, or you're just concerned with managing your money, you need to know the biblical laws of money management. For instance, did you know that God will reward you for good money management? Did you know that your job in heaven, that your role and responsibilities in eternity are going to be determined by how you have used what God has given you here on earth? The Bible makes this very clear, that your life here on earth is a test, and God is going to use money and your management of it more than any other thing to test and build your faith, because it's the hardest thing to handle on this planet. Now, I have created a financial fitness study kit as a resource to help you learn the biblical method of money management. This financial fitness study kit includes a DVD and a study guide with 5 lessons covering the 7 laws for financial freedom, the law of contentment, the laws of sowing and reaping, the habits for healthy finances, and where to best invest. I want you to have this kit because I want you to learn to trust God more. And I believe this financial fitness study kit is going to help you do that as you apply the biblical principles of money management to your finances. Now, to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope, which, by the way, we couldn't continue this broadcast without your support, I'd like to send you the Financial Fitness Study Kit. All you need to do is just visit rickwarren.org, www.rickwarren.org, or you can call 1-800-600-5004, 1-800-600-5004. You know, I so appreciate your support of this ministry. As you know, we are a 100% listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for us to teach people all around the world about the hope we have in Christ. And if God lays on your heart to give a one-time big gift to help support this ministry, I would deeply appreciate your praying about that major gift. And for those of you who give on a regular financial basis, thank you for your faithfulness. And thanks for listening today. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.